Tonight, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the 6th chapter of Galatians. And I think we'll begin reading from the 14th verse. And it says there, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Now praise God, we're going to pick it up tonight from this 16th verse. And praise God, that rule, that precious rule, as it says there, "and as many as walk according to this rule." Don't let it be a mystery to you. We've been studying it all along. Praise be to God. It's so summed up in those last two words of the 15th verse there we just read. The new creature. The new rule is the new creation. Praise God. Christ in you. Do you believe it? The hope of glory. Isn't that awesome? I mean, the hope of glory is Christ in you. Not Christ afar off somewhere or at the right hand of the Father or any other place, but Christ in you. I was hoping you'd be a little bit more happy than that. It's hump day, but who knows what God can do? Maybe a miracle tonight. But brothers and sisters, this is the rule of the new man. "It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me." Ephesians 4:24. "And that ye have put on the new man." Read that right there. And that's how it reads there. It's not that you put on the new man. It's that ye have put on the new man. It has happened when you accepted Christ as Savior. "Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." The new rule is grace. The new rule, praise the Lord, is grace through faith. Salvation, brothers and sisters, and everything forward from God. A gift. Nothing of myself, lest any man should boast. Amen? Aren't you happy? Aren't you thankful? You can feel the peace a-coming, praise God. See, Paul summed it up. He said all the great things, praise God, all the faith that was worked in my life, all the love, all the truth, all of the enduring, the hardness as a good soldier, I had nothing to do with it. It was but the grace of God that was with me. The grace did it all. The grace performed it all. All the enabling that we will ever have in anything that is profitable is from grace. It had to be the new man. It had to be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Emptied vessels, brothers and sisters, and it's the treasure. Aren't we thankful? Praise God. We're precious to God. We're extremely precious to God. We are God's inheritance. Now are we the sons of God. But let's understand why. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I know sometimes when truly just by the grace of God, it touches me to get so excited about it. It sometimes offends people. Well, my goodness, you're just ignoring me completely. And it's no, praise the Lord, the glory is bestowed upon you as we magnify Christ in your life. That's it. Praise the Lord. We are vessels prepared to pour into glory, to the praise of the glory of his grace. How awesome to think that that's who we are in Christ. Magnificent. Magnificent, magnificent. But that's the battle, brothers and sisters, and it's the battle of faith. Believing in this all-sufficient grace for all things. Always. Completely. Convinced. Praise God. And by grace, if we will yield, surrender our lives to this paramount truth, and the paramount truth is grace, the full overcomer in Christ arises in our life. The new creation life. Can you imagine it lives moment by moment? moment by moment believing him, moment by moment that, again, it's Christ in me. It's Christ that liveth in me. I'm confident in him, and I'm confident that I am his workmanship because the Bible tells me so. See, this is the life that we now live. We live by the faith of the Son of God. It's the same believing. It's the Word. It's the life of Jesus Christ living in us. And I'm thankful that by grace we can give over to that. By grace we can have the power to believe the Word of God. And to believe that it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. It's amazing. It's absolutely wonderful how the lump of clay becomes the reality. It's exactly what it says and exactly what it is. It sits there. It doesn't do a thing. It just sits. Isn't that a miraculous? I mean, it's just a marvel. It's miraculous. Why would God choose a lump of clay to show you that it cannot do a thing? Not even talk back. Who are we in Christ? In Christ, you know I'm a yielded vessel to the Lord. Do you know in Christ, by his grace, that life of Christ is completely pleasing to the Father? Obedient? Can you imagine? Accepted? It's his very life. I rejoice for you, brothers and sisters. I rejoice for us in Christ. Hallelujah. And see, my goodness, brothers and sisters, it's this incredible, all-sufficient power of grace that he's called us into. Let's go ahead and turn over to Romans 6:13. And in Romans 6:13, it says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." I need power for that. Power from up on high. The power of Christ living in me. "But yield yourselves unto God." And here's why. "As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." See, the reason why is this is who we are in Christ, brothers and sisters. We're alive unto God. We're dead unto sin. We're raised with him. Amen? Are we raised with him? Now know the power of his resurrection. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? To know him and know the power of his resurrection. Now think of that power of his resurrection. The power of Christ in that resurrection is a life completely reigning over sin and death. You're awfully quiet. The life of Christ is a life that is empowered, praise God, that lives a life completely reigning over sin and death. And I love that. That's the life that lives in us. And again, brothers and sisters, it's that we are dead to sin and alive unto God. Now go ahead and read the 11th verse with me of the 6th chapter. "Likewise, reckon," know it, it's been imputed is that word. That means we have it implanted, given. It's our life. It's his life. It's given. "Likewise, know this. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're not getting it done, are you? Praise the Lord. He's showing you you can't do it. And you need to quit of yourself and let God. And let God. And feed that new man. Jumping ahead maybe to Sunday a little bit, but brothers and sisters, in the natural, you know, you can have a child and completely healthy, 9, 10, 8 years old, whatever. All the potential to grow up. Everything's there. But that child needs food, it needs water, it needs sleep. All of that stuff, and then from there, all the things can happen. Now, what about our spiritual life? It's all there. We've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. People can say, "Well, what do you mean just let God? Just sit there and do nothing?" No, you got to feed that life. You have to feed that life. just like you feed that little 8-year-old or 9-year-old, you feed it. You give it food, you give it water, you give it sleep. Praise be to God, there's just one thing we need, and that's the Word. The Word of His grace. And it'll build you up, it'll grow you up just like that little child, amen? But specifically for a purpose and give you an inheritance. Your hair standing up among all them that are sanctified. You think about the ones sanctified, Paul and Timothy. Those ones set apart for Him. A vessel set aside solely for the Master's use. The pattern's the same. The crown of righteousness awaits. And it's all by the grace of God. Aren't we thankful? There's no guesswork in this. Praise His wonderful, wonderful name. So in this 11th verse here, we're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, it's beautifully simple here. We merely allow the Word of God, brothers and sisters, to be our understanding. Did you hear that? The Word of God is our understanding. It's not our opinions. It's not our reasoning. It's not our minds. It's not our feelings. But it's this precious truth. That's what it is. This precious truth as our light, as our guide, as our lamp unto our feet. And praise be to God, we will walk in this rule that we're reading about tonight. We'll walk in it. And the result of walking in that rule is you will rise up as a full overcomer in Christ. And praise be to God, what results from that is the next thing we read here. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy. Oh, it just keeps getting better. It's not just one thing. It's just exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. God just keeps pouring it on because He favors us. That's just it. He favors you. No, brother, you don't know the trial I'm going through. He couldn't favor me in that. Oh, yes, He does. He's awakening you. He's alerting you that, you know what? I need to get closer to Him. I've got a need, and that need is Jesus. Praise His name. But see, it's peace and mercy that's upon us. And know this in this peace, brothers and sisters, as we approach this one first. It's absolute peace. It's not just hit and miss peace. It's perfect peace. It's the peace that passes all understanding because it's the very peace of God Himself. Always remember that. He gives you His things. They're His, and now they've been made yours, and they're mine. They're not something that He thought of or maybe over here that He made. They're actually His. It's far more intimate. Everything that He gives is His. Praise God. His life, His blood. Praise the Lord. And this is His peace. And in His peace, brothers and sisters, and I'm talking about the perfect peace, and we understand that we have perfect peace as our mind is stayed upon Him. Amen? Captivated. This is the captivation right here. This is our life. I'm breathing air in this natural body, but by faith I breathe the Word of God. This is how I live. I live by the faith of the Son of God, just as a natural human lives by sucking oxygen. I live by the faith of the Son of God. This is our life. And this is the absolute truth, brothers and sisters. And I pray God that we're convinced, that we're persuaded, again, that He is able because of His life that lives in us, and as we feed by grace upon the Word of His grace. But see, in this peace, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter where He leads. See, my peace and your peace is not predicated upon the location or the situation. Again, the environment, in a sense, if you want to put it that way, that He leads us. Because it's always His peace, and His peace is always perfect, and it's always peace, period. Whether it's a furnace, a lion's den, whether it's the valley of the shadow of death, whether it's the backside of a desert. When, Lord, I really thought You were leading this way, and I thought I was ready, and You've got 40 more years of perfect testing for me. Perfect peace. Amen. Amen. See, we're abiding, aren't we? Be anxious for nothing. The only thing I'm anticipating by his grace in yielding to his word is his appearing. It's the only thing. Yearning for that, longing. I'm loving his appearing. That is something that I'm waiting for with great earnest. I don't want to use the word anxious, but could kind of give a touch of that. But you know what I'm saying. Any of this other stuff, brothers and sisters, again, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. The eternal weight of glory that he has for us. It's so wonderful that what is waiting. But see, we only see that as he enlightens the eyes of our understanding. But by God's grace, we need to be willing for those eyes to be enlightened. We need to know the word of God. Amen? And as we know more of the word of God, it's not a mystery anymore. I don't think these things strange, do you? You don't. I'm not saying that they don't hurt. I'm not saying that a stripe, a thorn, is joyous for the moment, because that's exactly what the word of God says. But we know. See, we know. And we abound in the hope of what we know. Amen? See, it's not that we think or we're betting, maybes. We know. And the hope, again, is not an if, but it's a when. That's the beautiful thing about the word of God. When you see that word hope, it's just when. It's not an if. And praise God, it could be tonight. Now, see, perfect peace, brothers and sisters, is faith. And it's faith that even passes all understanding. I don't know about you, but aren't you amazed and stand back at the faithfulness of God in your life? Sometimes, and you can't even believe that you're believing him for a situation you're in. Now, bite on that one for a minute. I know I shouldn't be trusting you, but praise God that Jesus Christ in me is. And that's the way it is. And I'm grateful for him that great faith, this is what he does above anything that we could ask or think. This peace, brothers and sisters, that we receive results from faith. And it's faith that does not see things with the natural eye. See, when we start to look at things with our natural eye, again, getting back to the reasoning of our mind, we're not operating in faith. When we start to say, Lord, you had the reins, but I'm going to take them for a moment, I am not living by faith. And peace is gone. You may feel that you have something, but it ain't peace. It's going to be fear very quickly, because it's not the perfect love of God that we're entrusting to lead our lives. But you see, the peace that results from faith is the peace that has faith to believe that the substance, hope, and evidence is in everything that's not seen. I'm looking into the eternal. Praise God, I'm looking into the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that in that, brothers and sisters, we can face every situation and every battle. And not with my mind and not with my reason. But praise be to God, I come up against these things and I say, it is written. It is written. Behold the Lamb. I'm coming at you with the Lord God of hosts. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Conquers every adversary, brothers and sisters, every foe, they're slain. But again, I say praise be to God, because, you know, it's this same power of believing that I'm thankful to God when we yield to him. I'm thankful for that peace that passes all understanding that, you know what I'm saying, when you hit that vein and, my goodness, they call it a zone, I guess, in the natural, whatever it is. I'm just thankful to the Lord. It's yielding to God. And you're thankful there's such harmony, there's such peace, there's such fellowship, rejoicing. But what about the power of believing that the Lord gives us and even encourages us with, even in our failures? How about the word of God and in faith and believing that even when I believe not, he abideth faithful? Huh? Do you understand that? Well, wait a second. Didn't you say when you failed? Sure. But see, the Lord quickens me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's his purpose that I yield to him. But praise the Lord, I know that he has appointments with my shortcomings, as we said earlier on. That praise God, he's going to show me how much I need his grace. Even to have faith. When I get too confident in myself, he is faithful. He is faithful. In his faithfulness, thou hast afflicted me. Hallelujah. I'm thankful we know this, brothers and sisters. See, absolute faith believes him fully in those instances, brothers and sisters. That even if I be otherwise minded, even if I start to drift out there a little bit, you know what? He gonna make that known unto me. Oh, you just crazy. That's crazy talk, brother. Well, you know what? That grace crazy talk has kept me thus far. How about you? Huh? See, he's given me a glimpse of who I am but for God. I've seen just a little bit of those tents of Kedar of my life. Oh, wretched man. I don't know how to say this, but I say it with such rejoicing. Because he's so awesome and he's so beautiful that he dealt with a sinner like me. Oh my goodness, dead in my trespasses and sin, but God. Now, that is the rule of the new creation, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is my life. Jesus Christ lives in here. This is his house. Isn't that wonderful? And the Word of God, hallelujah, that's my life. And by his grace, that is our life. And it applies to everything that goes on. Because I'm his. I'm bought with his precious blood. I am not my own, and I'm grateful to God for that. The power is all there. And I always love how Brother Hill would point over here. He said, now go on over to that light switch and turn it on. That's as simple as it is. Believing. The word works effectually in them that believe. And we know that as we walk in this wonderful walk of faith, that it's so mighty, but it's so lonely the moments we don't believe. How quickly that light just seems to be dim. But it's not that. It's that I've just turned from it. It's never left me. It's my life. I'm just not accepting God to let me turn to you. You're already holding me. Let me turn around and face you. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So you see, dear ones, this is it. The power is always there. That we always, as the Word of God says, having all sufficiency in all things, superabound to every good work. And I believe in that, that would be the greatest definition of mercy I could ever think of. What do you think? That I have something like that when I didn't earn it, I didn't deserve it. As a matter of fact, the opposite of that is absolutely true. The only thing I earned and deserved is death, torment, and torture. Punishment, whoopings that would never cease. But God, I guess I'm just giving you my testimony today. It just helps me to rejoice in truly more and more who he is. Oh, I love it. I love to magnify the grace of God. I love that precious story that sister, well, you know, she had a lot forgiven, I guess, to forgive. She's been forgiven more. Hallelujah. See? But it does say, but God in the Bible a few times. Isn't it wonderful? But who is rich in mercy because of his great love for us? I think about how that great love for us just poured out such grace and favor. Now are we the sons of God? I cannot, in a way, comprehend that. I mean, I could maybe comprehend a little bit that you spared me. I cried mercy and you said, okay, we're just going to let you live. We'll call you a friend. I don't know. We'll let you in the neighborhood? No, honey, you're my son. And not some distant son. It's that same life, son. It's that one. I marvel at his great grace. And brothers and sisters, if we will just take that freely given grace and let it grow, it's going to be joint heirs with him. It's going to be jointly reigning with him. It's going to be glorified together with him. You see the double portion all in that? With him, with him, with him. I praise the Lord, and I hope you do. But it's the double portion to the Lamb of God. So now we go back again, which we stated on a little earlier. This is why we need to immerse ourselves in listening to his voice. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Brothers and sisters, we need to give ear and heed to that. And to prevent. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We know the Word of God. He's given us this precious gospel. We know how subtle the enemy is. And how he'll use the little leaven every single time to leaven the whole lump. Because that's what it does. The little foxes spoil the vine. And this is why we stand withstanding, having done all to stand. This is why we give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How could we neglect so great salvation? You want to heed to the Word of God? I do. Don't want to go anywhere else. It's just, it's too beyond good. It's too absolutely, awesomely beautiful. When you look into it, you're speechless. There's no words. It's past everything. It has to be by His Spirit, doesn't it? I mean, praise God that through the foolishness of this preaching, we can rejoice just because of the word of His grace. But we can't touch this. We haven't even. Because we're looking into the only thing there will ever be. My word endureth forever. And what's in here? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So brothers and sisters, we need to let him tell us who we are in him. See, that's why we listen to his voice. Do you know you need to be encouraged? Do you know you're nothing but a big insecurity? Face it. Come on. I know it. Because it's our old man. It's just our flesh. It's all of these things that... We understand, brothers and sisters, these two natures that we have. I'm grateful to God that He's showing us that, you know, when we accept it and we understand how weak we are, then He's strong. And that's the beauty of it all. But see, we need to listen to His voice to tell us about all the spiritual blessings in the heavens that we're blessed with. I want to know about my inheritance. But the inheritance that I need to live right now. Praise God that He's ready to bestow upon me, that my goodness, that this grace can grow me up now to be a readied wife waiting for Him. See, brothers and sisters, immersed in mercy, not just peace, but mercy, knowing that He's always there to encourage us. Do you hear the Lord telling you moment by moment, honey, you can? You can do all things through me. Because my whole being is about strengthening you, if you'll let me. Thou hast a little strength. Do you? I pray you do. Praise God. That's that precious Philadelphia, those Philippian saints. Now, brothers and sisters, nothing's too hard for God. See, He freed you from sin. Hallelujah. We're dead to it. And now we're alive unto Him. And He's just encouraging us to just live who you are. And praise the Lord, I look at this story and I think it's the most beautiful story ever told. And when you start to really see the grace of God, you can understand why Paul said, this wasn't of man. It didn't come from man. It wasn't conceived of man. Man had absolutely nothing to do with this. This was from Jesus. We had a talk. Hallelujah. Now, It's hard to get through this. Praise God. Okay, let's look at the last part of 16. And upon the Israel of God. You read through that a lot of times fast, didn't you? You ever thought about that? The Israel of God. I always thought it was the God of Israel. But now we're talking about the Israel of God. So, you know what? We best not skip over this. What do you think? I think it's most precious, brothers and sisters. And you know what? We know it is because it's His Word. Turn with me to Romans 4. I know you know this, but praise the Lord. Let's rejoice in what Lord thou knowest has for us. Romans 4, verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Isn't that something? You like that word, reckoned? Remember how Brother Hill used to say, I reckon. Praise God. That's imputed. He's got it. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised. Boy, can you imagine that? That just burnt everybody up, didn't he? That he might be the father of all them that believe. That's why we call him Father Abraham. Isn't that something? Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Now here it is. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith. What are the steps of that faith? What did Abraham do? He believed God. He just believed God. Isn't that awesome? I was thinking about Abraham. He didn't have written word here. But he had the word. God spoke to him. Face to face as a friend, praise God. It's just wonderful. I'm thankful as Moses did and all those ones that listened to the voice of the Lord. The steps of that faith of our father, Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Now turn over to chapter 9 with me in verse 6. And it says there, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Listen to that. Isn't that something? Just because you're Israel doesn't mean you're of Israel, huh? Neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Oh, here comes the seed, praise God. That is, they which are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. Praise God. See, there it is. It's the seed, isn't it? The seed. The incorruptible seed. Romans 4, 2. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And there we go back to by faith. The seed, the new man. Praise his name. Verse 17 of the sixth chapter. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Got a sweet phone call from a brother today, and he was just so excited in the Lord to encourage, really touch upon that, if you would, brother, if the Lord put that on your heart. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Well, the Lord answered that some time ago, praise his name. But we're going to hit that first part. I love how he says, let no man trouble me. Get away. I'm done messing with this. That time is no more. We're moving through. I love that. See, Paul addressed that back in chapter 5, 11, and 12. And as I touched upon it when we were there, they may have been trying to throw back at him, you know, when he had Timothy circumcised. There was a purpose in that. God wanted him to do that because he wanted him to go into those Jews to witness to him. But we understand that there was a reason for that, because first of all, it was the word of God. And to them, he said that we're going to be like that. You know, Paul said to him, I would that you were cut off, you troublemakers. And that's what they are, the troublemakers. When you distort the grace of God, you're a troublemaker. Are you listening? Don't do it. Do not do that. You're stirring up something that is such really, it's abomination to God. It deprives the glory of the cross. See, brothers and sisters, as he said, if that was the case, why are you persecuting me? As they were trying to say, well, you're into that circumcision stuff, Paul. Oh, if I am, if I'm like you, then why am I being persecuted? Well, I'll tell you why, brothers and sisters. And the proof is right here. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I love that. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know this goes way beyond the beatings and the stonings and the shipwrecks and all of those things Paul was privileged to be part of. But this is way beyond what the eye could see, what was going on the outside. These marks were within. And if you look at the literal meaning of this word marks, it means a slave branded into his body so to evidence to whom he belonged. It also means a soldier bearing the brand of his commander. Man, I love that. And all I could do was just rejoice as the Lord brought this to my heart. It was so evident that Paul was shut up to Jesus. Matter of fact, in Ephesus and Philemon, Paul said it so sweetly and boldly, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, Jesus only has one kind of prisoner, and that's a love prisoner. Those bars are just the word of his grace. Oh my goodness, you talk about a precious hedge, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, they're his hands. But see, I believe that Paul was even expecting more riding upon him. As John spoke of it, even a new name. Bridegroom. Amen? You got to go. You know, you got to let him take you. And then I think as I read this, brothers and sisters, of the beatings that were received of the Shulamite as she went to look for him by the watchman. Appreciate what Sister Bodie comments in there. As you know, sometimes we think that we're going to fellowship with certain saints, and sometimes we think that we're going to get encouragement in certain places because it's the family of God. And boy, can they inflict some wounds. And you realize you got to say, I got to go. I love you so, but love's moving me on. As we get into that chapter of Genesis, I think so strongly about how the love that must have been in that family of Rebekah's, Laban and all of them, and how much fellowship and just love that they shared. What a precious home. And that was God's, you know, that type, that's from my people. You're going to go get her from my people. And they were willing to give her up. They said, oh yeah, this will be a good thing. This will be wonderful. But she can't go right now because we're going to have to, you know, spend some time and, you know, we got to say goodbye right. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, no, we're going now. And I read those words, well, we'll call her in. We'll inquire of her and we'll see what she wants to do. And as the Lord gave me that sweet picture, they couldn't find her. Because she was sitting on the camel already saying, let's go. Praise God. And what a testimony of love that is. Hallelujah. That's the faith. Hallelujah. But God, brothers and sisters, brings this to our lives. I think also of the berating that Mary received from Martha at the feet of Jesus. See, brothers and sisters, these marks that I believe so sweetly Paul is glorying in are the sufferings far beyond the shipwrecks, our sicknesses, our finance problems. Those are all part of it, don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about the great inner battle of refusing to compromise. The willingness to be ridiculed, brothers and sisters. Truly departing from feeling all of the distractions of the camp and going unto Him, bearing His reproach. Yeah. That's pretty narrow there. Matter of fact, only one can go that way. Only one. The winner of the race. So he finally says here in the 18th verse, "Brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." And I think it's so precious here. Appreciate how Brother Copley brings it out. He says, "Brethren." He doesn't say, "Oh, you foolish Galatians," as he ends it. See, but God constrained him. But he says, "Brethren," so sweetly, "brethren." See, their standing, brothers and sisters, never changed, even though their state in believing was in shambles. You think about what he called these brethren. He called them children. He called them little children. He called them foolish. He asked them, "Who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Could it be any more clear that it's grace? That the perfecting, brothers and sisters, is just how it began? Grace. That it's freely bestowed. It's the gift of God. There's nothing for us to boast in it. We're here to just magnify and praise Him for His magnificent grace. And praise God that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says here, be with your spirit. See, Paul told them back in chapter 5, verse 4, he said, "You've fallen from grace. You've fallen from it." That means you've departed from it. You made a choice. Somehow, some way along the way here, you had the great idea that you could add something to this in yourself. Somehow, some way, let's just be honest here, you felt that you had to feel something that you did, that you accomplished something, that this is something that your goodness or efforts attained. And it doesn't work that way. And I'm telling you so long, but I'm giving you the encouragement, the only thing that you'll ever need. You got a spirit. But he says, but the grace of God be with you. Just like the grace of God that was with me, that's what did it all. That's why you have fallen. That's why you have departed. That's why you have become bewitched. Is because you left the grace of God. You can't mix it, brothers and sisters. You can't. It's either grace or it's works. It's it. People try to somehow run the gamut of, you know, hopping back and forth. The little leaven leavens. You've departed. Paul is after the fully matured, perfected, readied, completed vessel. That's the message. That we'd be filled with all the fullness of God, to know the love of Christ, to glory in live this rule, the rule of grace. That's his message. That's follow me as I follow Christ. Nothing short of it. It wasn't come close. It wasn't almost. It was finish with a full joy. And it cannot be attained without grace. And full grace. Complete grace. And grace alone. As Paul said, "For I am the least of the apostles." See, he gloried in that. He wasn't being facetious. He knew that in his heart. That's what I'm telling you. I'm glorying in that. Thank God. Are you transparent? Are you the least of the least of the least? Praise his name. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And I'll close with Acts 20:32. As we come to the conclusion of this little study. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Praise his name. Let's stand.